Blog Talk Radio.
I'm glad I know you.
Now for all of you that are out there listening,
I'm glad you know me.
I need you just to close your eyes. And I need you to think about your personal relationship with the Father right now. How good he's been.
We're one big family.
And family, let's just give God praise. It's time to worship. Oh, lift up. Lift up holy hands. Oh, you've been so good to me. All because of Jesus. You shed your blood out there on Calvary.
You gave your life.
Hallelujah. Oh, I need a witness up in here. Tiffany.
Everyone, and welcome to our morning words of encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our morning of encouragement is a ministry of the Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Brother Bradshaw will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. We ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. Haven't we been having some beautiful and gorgeous weather? I'm telling you, I know some of you think it's been too hot, right? I can't wait for winter to come around. I just can't wait for the weather to get better. Please, come on now. Just adapt to what God has given us because it happens all the time. This is not the first time that we've had 98-degree weather or 100-degree weather or whatever it is. And so we should have already been prepared for that. So I'd like for you to I would encourage you, this is supposed to be an encouraging kind of a program. I would encourage you to sort of key into every season that we have, summer, fall, autumn, winter, spring, adjust to that and enjoy it. Adjust to it and enjoy it. If you look outside this morning, maybe you have not, it's going to be a gorgeous day. And I hope that God continues to bless you. And then, of course, hope that you can be a blessing to somebody yourself today. Matter of fact, school is rapidly approaching. Those of you who have had to buy ramen noodles all year to feed your kids at home, you can slow down on that now. You don't have to go out to a store and buy some more ramen noodles. That's going to come to an end shortly. Back to school. And we just pray for our students that as they graduate, some have gone to another level. Gone to another level in school. Some have come out of school, graduated, and we hope that they some kind of way can contribute to society and to help us move this country, along. But our kids will be going back to school, and you know what that means, right? Buses. And so don't be in such a hurry that you go around a bus when it's stopped and got that little sign sticking out on the side. And, you know, what I thought about when I see people driving crazy like that, I said, They must not have no children or nothing of that sort. Because if they had kids, they'd sort of better understand why they ought to slow down or stop. And if you got an appointment or something of that sort, leave early, because that's what school buses do. They slow you down. They stop where you don't want to stop. So get that mindset. I'm trying to groom you. The buses, matter of fact, last week out in my area, the buses was running, but they was training to see how the bus is going to stop, where it's going to stop, how it's going to turn, and all that kind of stuff. So they had them out training last week. Schools are getting started back, and I'm really hoping that our students would just get in there and just dig, learn something, and can contribute something, and then of course we'd be better off. This morning I want to talk to you for just a minute about a particular passage in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In that passage, it's a very powerful passage, because I was just thinking the other day that when Jesus or when God is, when that spirit is in you, excuse me, you'll think different, you'll respond different, you will act different. It will put you in a different mode of thinking and reasoning and rationale. And then, of course, if the devil's spirit is in you, then you're going to do all of those things that I just mentioned a while ago. And so, sometimes people talk about having some feelings and some emotions about some things. When you're in a particular mode, you do have some experiences. Excuse me. You do have some experiences. But in this particular passage I want to talk to you about this morning, it says that, nevertheless, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ gave himself for me, or he gave himself for us. John 3:16 would bear that fact out. But you know, over the years, I have found myself, I just give out of giving. I know you have too. This is supposed to be an encouragement kind of thing. But over the years, sometimes you just give, and it just wear you down. And some of you are still in that position right now, and you don't know how to get out of it. Some of you are trying to figure out some way out. Every time you get that phone call to take somebody somewhere or pick somebody up or this, that, another, some kind of way you're trying to figure out, how can I get out of this situation? Because you're constantly giving and they constantly receiving, never reciprocating in any way, never really showing you any kind of appreciation or any kind of thank you. A word of thanks would go a long ways. It would just put many miles on it. But I know it. In the past few years, it passed for years. I have just given till I have just slapped give out. But I have an announcement to make this morning that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, continued to give. And finally, he gave his life. He gave his hands. He gave his feet. He gave everything. And I'm just glad that he didn't give up. I gave up, gave out. I'm just glad that he did not give up. Let Christ be your personal Savior. Christ gave his life for me. Christ gave his life for you. And listen to this. He gave it. Nobody took it. When you read in the Bible of Judas betraying Christ for 30 pieces of silver, and you see where they pursued Jesus. Matter of fact, after they gave him the 30 pieces of silver, the Bible says that he sought opportunities. He continued to sought opportunities where he could crucify Christ or where he could betray Christ. And when they did and they found him, don't get that passage twisted. When they found Jesus, they did not take him. They did not overcome him. They did not have enough soldiers, spears, or whatever it was that they had, bow and arrows and everything, to take Christ. Christ volunteered to give himself up. Keep that in mind. Nobody on the face of the earth ever put Jesus in a position where he had to surrender himself because they thought they were taking him. Matter of fact, I'm always impressed with passage where it says that when they confronted Jesus and Judas finally kissed him to show who he really was, Jesus asked this question, "Who seek ye?" Now here's the soldiers with the spears and all of their guns and the bazookas and everything that they had. They said, "Who seek ye?" And the Bible said, they said, "Jesus." Jesus said, "Here I am." And the Bible said, instead of them running and grabbing and snatching on him and putting him in handcuffs and put their knee on his neck and all that kind of stuff and everything, the Bible said they fell backwards because they heard the name of the Son of God, and the Son of God's name came out of his own mouth. So don't get that like, oh yeah, they finally caught up with him and they're gonna put him on the cross. No, all of that he was walking, volunteering, giving himself up for us. So you need to understand that. In John chapter 10 and verse 19, he tried to explain it to us, and whether we can catch it or not. But he tried to lay it out there. In John 10 and verse 18, he says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have from my Father." In other words, him and his Father already discussed this thing. Said, "Look ahead, I'm going to give you the power to be crucified and also the power to be resurrected and to get up again." And then in Titus 2 and verse number 14, the Bible said, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and prepared unto us himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, he says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He gave himself for us. They did not nab him. They didn't have enough. Matter of fact, there was one time when they came to nab him, that one of the disciples cut off the ear of one of the servants. And the Lord said, "Put your sword away. This is not the way this is going to go down." Because all of this, do y'all remember? This is what he told his apostles. Basically, y'all remember what I've been trying to tell you all along? That I'm not going to be around all the time. That one of these days, I'm going to have to leave you. When I do, I'm going to send you another comforter. So they never really processed that as to what, how Jesus was going to die, when he was going to leave. They didn't believe him. He was on earth for 33 years. They was with him for three years or so. The disciples were with him for 3 years or so. And for some kind of way, this death thing with them did not register. But he gave his head to wear a crown of thorns for us in John 19 and verse number 2. He volunteered that. Now, notice the crucifixion of Christ. I don't really know if you dug into what this crucifixion was all about, but everything that they did was to humiliate him. It was to shame him. It was before the public to make him just look like a knucklehead. It was not to praise him, to give him the glory, the honor that he deserved. Everything that they did on his way to the cross did not symbolize anything that a king would do or a prince would do. And so when they placed that crown of thorns upon his head, it was not a crown like you would see over in England or somewhere where the crown is worth like $85 billion or $150 billion, something like this. No, this was some bushes that was put together, and they still had the thorns on it. So when they put it on his head, it did not exalt him. It caused him to bleed. And then when they put that purple robe on him, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but when they put the purple robe on him, of course, the robe itself had value because it was purple. Do you remember Lydia when she was down by the seaside and she was a seller of purple? That was an expensive piece of material. But it did not go on Jesus as if he was a king or if he was some kind of royalty. It went on him to embarrass him. Here's your king. Here's your robe. And then when they gave him a scepter, most kings have a scepter, and they and it has some power, just like our judges today when they decide a decision or something like that, and they hit that little gavel thing. That's our modern day. That's what our modern day scepter is today. But Jesus was just they just gave him just like a little pole or something, and then his cross. When they gave him a cross. We go to the store, and I've looked at some of these things. Some of them crosses are expensive. I mean, like $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000, and we wear them around our neck because we want to give him the honor, the glory, and we want to give him the praise. But the cross that he bore had no value to it at all. Had not that kind of value to it at all. And so when you look at the crucifixion of Christ and you think about him just dying on the cross, think further and think deeper more about all the surroundings and how that came about and what led to his death. And that would bring some significance to you. It really would, because everything that they did, when they hung him on the cross, that was half naked, everything, that was supposed to be the ultimate embarrassment, And guess what? He suffered through it all. And why did he do that? He did it for us. And what we need to understand is we need to read the Bible from another standpoint, not what Jesus kept doing for us, but now what can we do for Christ by giving our lives unto him? Father, take us through this day. May we be a blessing to somebody, and help us not to give out and to give in, because that's what Jesus did. Help us to go the extra mile as we minister to the people. Jesus loved you. He died for you, and he's coming again. Have a super duper day.